Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Astros are back above 500. Rockets trail the Golden State Warriors 1-0 in this first-round Western Conference playoff series. Still feeling pretty good about the Rockets' chances to win this series. I do think it's going to go 7, but I think ultimately, while the Warriors have the experience, the Rockets' size, the Rockets' athleticism, win the marathon in a series that I doubt will be a sprint. I've also got to say this. You take a look at the rest of the playoffs that we've seen to this point, the rest of the NBA playoffs, the rest of these games are making me feel better. First off, okay, you at least belong, unlike the Memphis Grizzlies. GTFO, my television. I do not want to see the Grizzlies play basketball again. I mean, game one, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, probably the MVP, sucked. They won by 50, you know? So at the very least, you belong as a 2 seed with maybe not that much offensive firepower. Number two, you're not the only team that's going to be looking at a 1-1 series, assuming that you win. And I would say that for Nuggets Clippers, that's definitely the most evenly matched series to this point, where you got Kawhi Leonard playing the best basketball he's played in years, and yet the series is tied at a game apiece afterwards. And also with the Lakers and Timberwolves, the Lakers the 3 seed, the Timberwolves the 6. Everyone thought the Lakers looked dead game one. Now all of a sudden everyone is puckering up to the Lakers after last night. Has anyone seen the coverage, the amount of coverage that the Lakers win over the Timberwolves last night is getting? A 3 seed beating the 6 seed in one game of the playoffs is getting? My God, you'd think that they just advanced to the NBA Finals again. You've got all sorts of ridiculous, hyperbolistic columns talking about the moment where J.J. Redick lit up his Lakers team. Because there's a timeout that J.J. Redick calls and he just swears at them a bunch. It's called on a microphone. And now all of a sudden people are calling him, he's the next Pat Riley. Actually have seen this from multiple people. The next Pat Riley. Why? Because in the post-game press conference afterwards, Redick seemed annoyed that the Lakers had won. Okay, they got Pat Riley 2.0. My God, the Lakers, they love to kiss their own ass. Paul, your Celtics do the same thing. It's different.
It's a different Paul.
Shut up. But I'm feeling better about the Rockets and the Warriors because look, all these other series are going the same way in the Western Conference. You're not the Knicks, underachieving, as they always are, tied 1-1. You're not the Bucks, who are already, I think, looking at flights to Cancun. You saw the first report about how Giannis Antetokounmpo really likes New York from somebody who writes for the New York Post. Relative to the other series, you should be feeling pretty good about where the Rockets stand, even though there's only been one game. They did not play their A game. They couldn't shoot, but they did play good defense. And thanks to that good defense, despite being down 20-plus against the Warriors dynasty, they were able to find a way back into that game late in a game where Fred VanVleet never figured out how to shoot, in a game where Jalen Green never figured out how to shoot, in a game where Amen Thompson was really passive in a game where Tari Eason wasn't very efficient off the bench either. I feel pretty good about tonight's game. Curious as to how you feel, though. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Sean Mapes behind the glass, the birthday boy. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
How you feeling, vibes-wise? Do you think that the Rockets are going to give you a birthday present?
I hope so. I definitely hope so, because like we saw last night with the Lakers in Minnesota, is that when you're the home team and you lose game one, like, dude, you got to win game two, because it is, it's not over, but it's pretty dang over if you start out losing your first two home games. And I think the Rockets would be in that same exact situation. So, yeah, they've got to win tonight. Looking around the rest of the West, that, like, yeah, I think it helps that the teams that have looked most impressive, they're all on the other side of the bracket. It is the Thunder, it is the Clippers, and it's the Nuggets. Those, to me, have been the real standout teams. Minnesota just made a bunch of threes in game one. That mm-hmm. was cool. You'll win doing that. But then you see when they shoot like a more normal percentage, it's like, okay, they're not that much better than the Lakers. Like, this will probably be another long series, the 3-6. And I, like you, think that the 2-7, the Rockets-Warriors, is also going to be a long series. So you're not worried about like a huge rest disadvantage that yeah. you'll be getting should you finish this thing off and make the second round.
I truly have no idea who's going to win. T-Wolves-Lakers. No
yeah,
clue.
Yeah, both these series. And Clippers
yeah,
Nuggets.
That like, too.
The three series that aren't the Thunder Grizzlies, where the Thunder are just going to win every game by 50. The other three series, like, I honestly have no idea who's going to win this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And hey, that's fun. It's good for the Rockets. But to what you were saying a little bit ago, great point. And I wonder if the Rockets feel a little more pressure for this game than they maybe were feeling in game one. It's their first playoff game. All these young guys, you have to be a little bit nervous, especially when you're going up against the Warriors. If they were going up against Memphis or something like that, I think this would be a totally different story. But this actually feels like a playoff game. Oh, your first playoff game is against Steph Curry. Look at Steph Curry. He's falling into the stands, hitting three-point shots. He's hitting threes from half court. Up there's playoff Jimmy Butler doing all the things that you're used to doing. So I imagine there will be less nerves in this game. But you are right from the perspective of, hey, if you don't win this one, you're down 0-2 against a Warriors team. Doesn't matter how much athleticism you have on this team, you're going to feel pretty crappy being down 0-2 going to San Francisco to play the Warriors.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets last year lost the first two games at home, and they had like a remarkable response, and that was going down 3-1 and then forcing a game seven they blow a 20-point lead in game seven. Like, that's the best-case scenario, basically, when you lose the first two games of the series. And I think it's something that it's a little bit of like NBA playoff psychology that you see all the time, where the Rockets are just going to play with so much more energy and so much more, we have to win this game, than the Warriors, who naturally, it's just like human nature of like, they don't have to win this game. So there's going to be a little bit of, if the Rockets like go up big early, there might be a little bit of, okay, we got
pack
our
it
one.
In.
Yeah, we got our one.
Let's
here.
Let's go back home.
Let's go back home. I think this remains a close game in the second half, that's where that kind of gets thrown out of the window, where if you're the Warriors, like, oh, we could actually just kind of win this series in game two. So I think for the Rockets, just come out with the same injury that they came out in game one in. Hope that Jalen Green starts making shots. Hope that Amin Thompson is a little bit more steady of a performer. And in the first half, try to run these guys off the court, because that's probably the best chance you have of a easy win, or, you know, a relatively stress-free win.
Something of note, by the way, development today. So for those who don't know, game three is Saturday night. And Sean and I have talked about this before. Game three is Saturday night. I think it's at 6:30 Central Time. Could be wrong. I don't know if ESPN is showing me Eastern or Central Time right now. But
let me see.
After their game on Monday, which is going to be a late game, 8 or 9 o'clock on TNT, their game on Wednesday, if there is a game five at Toyota Center, I hate this. I feel like the NBA is kind of shafting the Rockets when it comes to home court advantage. That game's going to tip off at 6:30 on a Wednesday. I think that's bogus.
Is that a double Western Conference game or something?
It's yes. The Lakers Timberwolves game would be the later game that day, right? So that's frustrating because okay, the first game of the series late at night on Easter Sunday in a very Christian part of the country, and then game five, if it happens, 6:30 in Houston, we're screwed. People aren't going to show up on time for that.
Yeah, 6:30 Wednesday in Houston is going to be.
That's tough. That's when rush hour like dies down probably around like 7:15. Like tonight, yeah. Actually getting into the stadium shouldn't be that bad. People will still show up late. That next Wednesday game, if it happens, I'm not feeling that one. So,
like we're saying, the next Wednesday game better happen.
Yeah, it better happen. Better happen.
You're down 1-0. It's game five.
You get swept. That would definitely be a bad look.
You have bigger problems than – I mean, no one will be at Toyota Center, but for much worse reasons.
Yeah, man. So, vibes for the Rockets, I think they're still pretty good right now. Vibes for the Astros, immaculate, the 12-11. They're back above 500. They're ahead of schedule in terms of getting back above 500.
Two straight two-game win streaks. Now that means there was a loss in the middle, so it is, but still 4-1
exactly
in your last five.
And that one loss was to team with the most wins in baseball.
Boom.
Facts. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Vibes wise, where you at for the Rockets? Where you at for the Astros? Up next, Dana Brown, Astros GM, spoke earlier today. Could we finally see the Astros give a young American-born star an extension? Hear what he had to say about Hunter Brown and some Astros injuries next.
ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Well, Tapper is going to stay fair and it's going to score a run. Pena's going to beat it out. An infield RBI single for Jeremy Pena. It's 1-0 Houston.
Jeremy Pena. 13-game hitting streak yesterday. Jeremy Pena, a three-hit game yesterday. Jeremy Pena, with his defense, he made the Blue Jays pay.
Oh, I'm so excited I can do a little more Jeremy Pena singing. It's been a while, but it's finally back because Pena's off to a great start. Last night, he was great on the base paths. Maybe not so much on that single. It wasn't his fault. That should have been a home run. Crawford boxes, let's lower them. Let's lower them a little bit. Make it a little easier for Jose Altuve to scale it. But he had three hits. Two of them were infield singles. He's got 35 infield singles now since the start of last season. And he made some really nice plays defensively out there. So it's good to see Jeremy Pena doing the things that we were hoping Pena could be capable of doing for an entire season after what we saw from him in the playoffs. Every single week, we hear from Astros GM Dana Brown, who's a bit of a politician out there, loves making promises, loves hyping things up. So what we do is we take a listen back to what Dana Brown had to say. I transcribe it for you, and we determine whether or not we are down with what Dana Brown is saying. Hit it.
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown was asked on the Astros flagship about the possibility of a Hunter Brown contract extension. Hunter Brown has thrown 24 consecutive scoreless innings and right now looks like a shoo-in to be the American League Pitcher of the Month to open up the season, especially when the Astros bullied Chris Bassitt, a competitor, last night to the tune of 4 runs. Bassitt really struggled out there. know what it is about him against the Astros, what it is about the Blue Jays against the Astros when they're in Houston, but whatever the case, we'll take it. Dana Brown on a possible Hunter Brown extension. Quote, "We're really excited about what Hunter Brown is doing here. He's been outstanding. At some point, we will have discussions about that. He's still under club control." Ah, we love having him. That "still under club control" part makes me feel like this is a ways down the road, and it's not a conversation that's happening this year. Brown went further to say, "There will be discussions about Brown at some point." I mean, that's so vague. That could be at any moment in time, Sean.
I get why you had to ask him about a Hunter Brown extension, but like, it's not happening, guys. I don't know.
Think it's not ever happening, or it's just not happening soon.
Definitely not soon.
So you're saying,
and I doubt it. Doubt later.
I'm skeptical too.
I mean, Dana Brown came out when he got hired. The offseason, he got hired and said, like, "We're definitely re-signing Bregman and Tucker."
Yep.
He said, and he was very, like, that's on my to-do list. And this is saying, hey, we're excited about what he's doing here. He's obviously been outstanding. At some point, we'll have some discussion. Like, this
he's learning, at least.
This is so much lower down the, like, I'm making this happen.
Good, honestly. I'd rather him do this than make promises that he doesn't deliver on. I remember when he first said all those things at his intro press conference, and I actually wonder if Dana had talked with Jim Crane about actually making these extensions happen. And hey, listen, maybe some of these extensions happen when Lance McCullers' contract is off the books, when some of the Astros' big contracts are gone.
Yeah.
Because they did put themselves in a bit of a bind with some of the deals that they have handed out. The most recent of them is the Josh Hader one. But the Hader's looking great to open up
the year. They also have like $30 million of Abreu and Montero on this year's payroll, along with the whatever it is, like 17 or 18 of Lance McCullers. So that's like over $40 million, almost $50 million on this year's payroll that you've cut two of them. No, you've cut one of them. You traded Montero, and Lance McCullers is getting too sick to do rehab starts.
He's an idiot.
So, theoretically, on next year's payroll, we'll have $50 million extra to spend on something. I still don't know if it's going to be Hunter Brown.
More Dana Brown on Hunter Brown. "That outing he had the other night keeps my blood pressure down." Huh. Does Dana Brown have blood pressure issues?
I guess so.
That's got to suck. That's one of the things I'm very blessed with my low blood pressure. There are times where I stand up and I'm faint because the blood rushes through my body a little bit too quickly. And I get dizzy. Fun times. Naturally a cold-blooded animal because of my slow-pumping heart.
Yeah. That almost seems like too far in the other direction.
But yeah, it might be, honestly. It might be. But it means I can eat the fat and steak. I just, like, eat all of it, you know?
Nice.
Cook some steak this weekend for somebody else. What?
Whoa.
And
lucky guy.
I remember watching this person eat the steak, and I was like, I want your fat. So I like took it off her plate. Is that weird? I don't know. I like the fat. Fat on the steak's good. Gotta cook it right.
It's a little weird. It's definitely weird to look on the other side of a table and be like, I want your fat. That's weird. But
I didn't say it like that.
She was done. Staring.
She was done. But
you've been quiet for 2 minutes.
I was just staring at it. Yeah.
I want your fat.
I want your fat, dude. Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown was asked about the bats. Are you down with Dana Brown saying this? Dana Brown, "Once the bats heat up, we'll be all cylinders." Yeah. Dump button alert. No shit. Oh, duh. Yeah. When the bats start going, they will be good. I agree. The pitching's been great to open up the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am down with that, Dana. Pretty obvious, though.
Hey, if we keep pitching well, when we hit, all systems go.
More down with Dana Brown. Here's Dana Brown being asked about Josh Hader. "He's off to a really good start. Last year, we got off to a slow start and asked him to pitch more innings. Better start this year, and he's showing what he's capable of doing." The part I want to know about is the pitching more innings thing. I would prefer that he pitch less than he does. He is off to a fantastic start, though. He really has been awesome to open up this season. Pretty exciting. But yeah. I don't ask him to pitch more innings, please. I want to see this all year long. This is what we expected last year when they signed him to that deal. Because that deal is insane. It's almost $20 million a year for 5 years for a reliever. It's a crazy deal. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, 12 innings so far for Hader in, what, 20-something games? 23
mm-hmm.
games?
He has been as impressive, if not more impressive, than Hunter Brown. I don't think that's a stretch.
No. Yeah. That's I would say he's been the second best pitcher, like just overall pitcher.
Yeah. Hell, maybe honestly, maybe even best. Second best yeah. Astro to this point. Like, is he better than Altuve's been? I mean,
he hasn't given up a run in however many straight.
Yeah. So honestly, among Astros this year, Hunter Brown, power ranking, number one. Number two, I would say Josh Hader. Three, take your pick, probably Altuve.
Yeah.
Continuing, are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown on Yiner Diaz struggles. If we could have him just relax a little bit, he's anxious and he's chasing. When the pitcher comes into the zone, he's devastating. Don't try to do too much. It does feel like Yiner's doing a little bit too much. We've seen Yiner Diaz do a little bit too much a lot, though. Like Yiner Diaz, that was a problem early on, even when he was having an awesome rookie season. He swings at everything.
Yeah.
I think he's always trying to do too much, and yeah, that might be something that's always a problem for him whenever he gets in a slump. He tries too hard to get out of it as opposed to just letting it come to him.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're a pitcher, like, why would you throw him anything in the zone if he's just going to swing at everything? So it is like a compounding problem. He just needs to just lay off a little bit.
More Dana Brown and player struggles on Yordan Alvarez. I would say Yordan's been unlucky. Ooh, like that. Hit a lot of balls hard. I'd be worried if he was being overmatched. He has hit some balls hard the last couple of games. I'd be worried if he was being overmatched. The balls are going to start to fall. He'll break out of it. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. Dana Brown, the politician, everybody. More player struggles. I'm down with Dana on Yordan being unlucky. Brown on Christian Walker. That was a great night for Christian Walker last night. I mean, my God. You got Zach DiCenzo step in for you on Monday. He looks great. DiCenzo has a thumb injury. He was going to be out. Walker was going to be out again last night.
Yeah, they're going to play. They're waiting on the thumb injury and set and they decided it was too bad, so they started Walker.
Sucks for DiCenzo. DiCenzo's had a great spring, and I mean, honestly, deserves probably a little bit more playing time. But Cam Smith is starting to figure things out.
Yeah, there's just a lot of mouths to feed.
Starting to get some work, by the way. Cam Smith in center field before Monday's game. Interesting.
That'd be crazy.
And so, Zach DiCenzo, does he go to right field? But Jake Myers is hitting so well right now. It's weird. It's weird the amount of, I guess, possibilities that the Astros have. I like how open they are to things, you know? Hell yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Cam Smith learned how to play right field last week, basically.
Like, yeah.
Try him at center. Why are we being so precious with him having to play right field? Play center.
Play him everywhere. Screw it. But on Christian Walker, here's Dana Brown. His head's in a good space. We give him a day off. Sometimes it's a bloop hit or something else that gets you going. 3-for-3 with a double last night. It was a nice game for Christian Walker. Hopefully more of those to come. More promising signs from Walker to this point than we saw from Jose Abreu. No denying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very low bar to clear.
Abreu, he also looked awful out there. Like, the pitches he wasn't hitting, you're just like, he's nowhere close to these. Like, Walker, at certain points, and we've made fun of the exit velo that he's had on some of these outs. But he has, like, hit the ball well. It just, I'm still, like, not loving what I've seen from Walker. Last night was a good step in the right direction. But I'm not at, like, get this guy off my team, Jose Abreu levels.
The hard contact makes up for the strikeouts to a degree.
Yes.
But the strikeouts, considering this was a guy coming in that supposedly was really good at working counts, much like Isak Paredes, that has been a little bit disappointing.
And at least he's good with the glove, too. So he
Correct. He's a very good fielder. Two last down with Dana Brown's. Injury-wise, are you down with this? Luis Garcia's been doing some tossing. It's funny when you say it like that. Looking forward to getting him back on the mound. But the way we're throwing right now, you get Arrigetti back, you get McCullers back, you get Garcia back. You're looking at a powerhouse. Dana, calm down. Cool the Jets.
Yeah, that spiraled. I was down, and then it was, and then we're going to do this. So
great way.
We're going
to
do that.
Great way to describe it, Sean. Spiraled. Because, I mean, my God, it's just like Howard Dean minus Christian Javier. As far as Spencer Arrigetti goes, 4 more weeks before he can get back on the mound. He's healing nicely. He feels confident. He feels pretty good, to be honest.
That's all good stuff. We'll see him in 4 weeks.
I didn't see anything about Lance McCullers, which is interesting. But, yeah, McCullers supposedly...
How's his tum-tum, Dana?
Stop! Save it for Jeremy Booth. Let Jeremy Booth take the shots at Lance McCullers. I want Lance to come on the show. But I think from the broadcast last night, it sounds like McCullers could be back within the next 2 weeks in the starting rotation. So we'll wait. We'll see. Are you down with Dana Brown? We do this every single Wednesday. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 975-925-713-780-3776 to call into text. And 10-minute drill, last day before the NFL Draft Edition. We're going to be talking about the two teams that are most hated in town in the NFL. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show, with Sean Mapes behind the glass, ESPN 97.5,
92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, around the NFL we go. Tomorrow. The NFL draft kicks off on, let's be honest, far too many networks. I think what happens is it airs on 1, ESPN, 2, ABC, 3, the NFL Network. There might be other channels too.
Yeah, and the ABC one, that's the one that's normally like the personal interest story.
Oh, I love that one.
Like you find out about every dead relative this person's ever had one.
This person overcame a dead third cousin to become the starting quarterback at insert school. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. They went really hard with that in the Olympics a couple of years ago, too. The pandemic Olympics. This person overcame a Charles Manson visit to their home back in the 70s to become the greatest javelin thrower of all time. It's stuff like that. I get a kick out of it, but that's because I have a dark sense of humor. Obviously, the people that went through those things, we hope that they were made stronger by the experiences that they went through.
And they were. Look at them well. Now.
And look at them now.
Look at them now. They're now getting tested even more by God because they're a New York Jet.
So true. So true. Speaking of boob franchises, the very irrelevant Tennessee Titans want everyone to know what they're doing with that first overall pick.
No, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
The Titans GM from Boston? Mike Borgonzi. Yeah, we're going to keep the first pick. Don't ask us what we're going to do with the first pick. Forget about it. Don't ask us what we're going to do. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay here, you jabok. We ain't going to tell you what we're going to do, but you know what we're going to get. We're going to get Cam Ward. Forget about it. Yeah, I love what they're doing here. Like, you're just going to have to stay tuned to find out. We know you're drafting Cam Ward, you losers.
Yeah, and this is even like as obvious as we've had in the past of who the number one pick. I mean, last year, like from the second the season ended, everyone knew Caleb Williams was going to go number one. But even still, like, I mean, it's obvious that the NFL is like, hey, don't tell people who you're going to draft so we can get them to tune in on 5 different networks at 7 o'clock.
You're right. It is more. It is certainly more on the NFL than the Titans.
It's so, like, I guess you're going to have to find out what we do. It's like, if you don't draft Cam Ward, everyone's going to call you a moron.
Yes,
all right?
Basically.
So just be ready. Be ready for that.
Did you see, by the way, too, in the same press conference, they said, Will Levis, he's still developing. He's still developing.
That is true.
So
he's definitely not a finished product.
Do you think Jeremy Branham's sold his stock, his Will Levis stock?
Got a diamond. I mean, at this point, got a diamond hands this.
It's GameStop at this moment in time, that's for sure. Like, it's an ironic purchase. Hey, he's fun. He eats bananas, peel and all. He puts mayo in his coffee.
Yeah. He looks horrified mid-interception. What's not to love about this guy? You know what? He probably should have sold after. Didn't he throw for like 300 yards against the Texans?
He should have. You're right.
That's the moment. Sell. Boom. Get
out. Yeah, damn.
Did like an 80-yard touchdown to a tight end.
I forgot the Texans lost. Yeah, that one.
That's a tough one.
That one. They did lose it, right?
To the Titans? It was in NRG.
Like a loss. Yeah, it was at NRG. I know they won the last game.
Yeah, they won the last one in Nashville.
I actually do not remember.
Did
they rally to win the first one?
75% sure.
And there was an embarrassing victory. I'm pretty sure that they lost as well. God, what a disappointing year last year was. You're right. 32-27 they lost. For some reason, I was like, they came back, didn't they?
It was the week. I know, because it was the week before Thanksgiving. Yeah. And I was out that entire week. I was like, thank God, I don't have to talk about this game.
Oh, this game sucks. Will Levis, 18-24 for 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. He was sacked 8 times. I think he was sacked 6 times in the first half. Yeah.
I forgot he was sacked so many times.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was a rough one.
Still developing. Will Levis.
He's still developing. All right. Meanwhile, the other team that a lot of people that live in Houston, Texas hate, the Dallas Cowboys. They had a press conference yesterday, and man, the Cowboys love to contradict themselves, don't they? First off, a week ago, Stephen Jones said that the Cowboys would probably trade back in the draft. But now you got Jerry Jones teasing 2 pretty substantive trades that are coming up. What? Well, a substantive trade probably means either a trade up or you're trading a big piece for a lot. I know a lot of people have been wondering, is a Dak Prescott NFL draft day trade possible? We'll see, I guess. But the Jones family is doing a dueling banjo routine at a press conference. Neither can agree on how close they are to extending Micah Parsons, but for what it's worth, Stephen Jones, at least, thinks the Cowboys and their selective aggression did a much better job of improving the roster this offseason. Congratulations. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons, he says it's a new era for the Dallas Cowboys. He says that his back and forth with DeMarcus Lawrence was all about setting a tone for the organization going forward, when, of course, DeMarcus Lawrence called him out for being obsessed with social media and saying that the Cowboys are never going to win a Super Bowl.
Man, for me, it's all about setting the tone about what the locker room is, man. We ain't going to put up with nothing. We ain't going to tolerate the dumb stuff that was going on. Like I said, it's a new regime, new culture. I'm not saying that, you know, other guys weren't culture builders, but you know, some things are just tied, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, if something ain't working, it's good that you got new guys to fix it. I'm just happy that, you know, me, CD, Dak, and, you know, Dak kind of been through 2 generations, but, you know, just a new regime. Like, you know, guys going to get closer, we're going to relate, you know? It's just kind of hard, like, you got a bunch of guys that are here, and they're older, you know what I mean? They're more your highest-paid players, and it's hard to get that relationship, but now we've all came in together, established this relationship. We're all around the same age, and we all hang out way more. So, like you saw us working out together, that's not something that I've seen or been a part of.
Micah, stop. Like, you're acting like you going back and forth with somebody via your podcast on social media is going to set a new tone for the Cowboys. No, this is just reinforcing that it's never going to change in Dallas until the Jones family's out. By the way, Parsons is working on a contract extension and is saying, I'm not going to show up for the start of the offseason unless I get that new contract. So he's not going to do any drills on the field or anything like that. So, we'll see where the Dallas Cowboys go. Some sad news in the NFL to wrap things up. Mike Patrick, you might remember him as the voice of Sunday Night Football for a very long time. He passed away at 80. He was the primary voice of Sunday Night Football from 1987 through 2005. That's insane. That's a very long amount of time to be the primary voice. And obviously things shifted for ESPN a little bit once you had a bunch of moving parts with, what was it? Monday Night Football became John Madden and Al Michaels on ABC for a moment, and then you had Al Michaels moving over to NBC. But there was a time where Sunday Night Football wasn't the biggest deal. It used to be Monday Night Football, but Mike Patrick was the voice of Sunday Night Football when it wasn't the biggest deal. RIP to him. He also did the college football, the College World Series, the Women's Final Four. I enjoyed Mike Patrick back in the day. Anyway, that's going to wrap up the 10-minute drill. second lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force, by the way. Mike Patrick didn't know that. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are a day away from the 2025 NFL Draft. We are going to wrap up our Houston Texans big board using only unintentionally erotic language from Lance Erline scouting reports on NFL.com next. The Texans need something at this position for sure. What position is that? Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros are back above 500. Huzzah! And the Houston Rockets have a pretty big game tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Game two of their Western Conference Series, the first series of the Ime Udoka era. Sunday, they, of course, lost to Golden State. 95-85, I think the game was scorer than the final score. The game was closer. Did I say score? I think the game was closer than the final score indicates. But I also realized that for this Rockets team, which is pretty limited offensively, it's going to take guys that have struggled a lot of the season and who struggled in game one to actually step up. Are they capable of doing it? I'm not sure. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. The Houston Texans currently have the 25th overall pick. They have four picks in the first 89 picks of the draft. And it does feel, based off of all the rumors that are out there, that offensive line is going to be the priority with the first pick, whether they trade up to go get it, which is a possibility, or trade back, which doesn't seem as likely a possibility given that they really seem to like two guys, Tyler Booker from Alabama, but more so Kelvin Banks from Texas. Booker's a guard. Banks is a tackle. We'll see what they do. Nick Caserio has said in the past that he wants to have four tackles on his team. And on top of that, as far as what they're looking for, I mean, do you know who their starting tackles are right now? I don't know. So if they're looking at Kelvin Banks and they like him and they want to trade up to get him, I'm not standing in the way. I don't think anything's too expensive. You like a guy, you like a guy. And if you're saying that your draft board is smaller than in years past and that you really like the roster that you have put together, which Caserio did, then go and do it. Anyway, we have put together, since we have very little respect for the draft industrial complex, unless it's coming from Lance Zierlein, our own big board for the Houston Texans in the NFL draft. We have put this big board together not by watching tape, not by remembering what we saw this past college football season. No, we don't do that. We're lazy. What we have done instead is gone to NFL.com and taken a look at the prospect write-ups written by Lance Erline for every single prospect in the draft at key positions that the Texans might be sniffing around at going into this draft. And we looked for the unintentionally erotic language in all these prospects, and the prospects who had the most and best write-ups from Lance, the ones that sounded the most like 50 Shades of Grey, those are the guys who made it onto our big board. It is our final edition of Lance Zierlein's unintentionally erotic big board, and this time we're taking a look at a position that the Texans definitely need some help at, linebacker.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip. Ooh,
they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Linebacker number one ranks per Lance Zierlein. Jalen Walker from Georgia. Tweener? Hybrid? Either way, Walker can go. Has athletic talent and suddenness to attack both edges. Makes him a menace. Whoa. All right. good length. Okay. Elite closing burst. Okay. Varies entry angles. Okay.
Wow.
Slide and slap move inside creates sudden pocket heat. Whoa, whoa. His strong hips drive through redirection blocks. This might be the best prospect that we've ever read, Jalen Walker from Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, without a doubt, he's number one. I mean, he's on our board, and he very likely, by the end of this, will be number one among linebackers.
I think so. Very clearly, anyone who can create sudden pocket heat, you need this person.
Different angles? Come on.
Oh, man. He varies them. That's what you need to do. You got to spice it up. So he's on our board. Number two at linebacker, Jihad Campbell. Before we get into the actual report side of things, would the Texans draft somebody named Jihad? Is that Texans worthy? Are you out by default?
I think Bob McNair, definitely. I think Jack Easterby, yes. But I think the Hannah and Cal, Casario, D'Amico, there's a chance. But I think the previous 23 years of Houston Texans football, no chance.
No chance. But he is an Alabama guy.
He isn't at that. That basically cancels out.
I doubt that they will draft a linebacker this early. I think he's supposed to go in the first or second round. So this is the write-up on him, though, and it's not great. Catches contact more than he doles it out. Needs to attack blocks and constrict his gap.
So he receives hits more than he gives.
He's got to constrict
and
his gap.
And he has to constrict his gap.
He allows edge blockers to widen him. Lance, what were you writing here, dude? Again, Lance Zierlein actually wrote...
Are we sure this is unintentional?
I don't know. Lance is aware that we're doing this segment now, so I don't know.
You think he went in and edited some?
Yeah. He should have, honestly. The unintentionally erotic big board, linebacker edition, continues. Demetrius Knight, South Carolina. Broad frame, built for rugged action in the box.
Okay.
Disdainful hands. I don't know what that means. That sounds cool.
That's fun. Yeah, it's a good description.
Runs through his tackle targets with force and wrap up.
Okay.
Oh, wraps up.
Love that.
Well, yeah, that's key. It's smart. But below average burst. He's on my board.
I think he just tips in favor of on the board.
Anyone built for rugged action in the box?
Yeah.
That's who you need on your team, guys. Prospect 4, Carson Schwessinger from UCLA. I'm going to say, reading the non-sexual stuff on his scouting report, he actually sounds like a really good player. He was the most appealing sounding guy based off of reading his report. But unfortunately, we're going to read the sexual sounding parts here, and it's going to keep him off our board. Undersized, takes the worst of it when blockers get on top of him. Lead blockers tend to neutralize him in the hole. Has issues getting rid of big bodies attacking him. Again, nothing against Carson Schwessinger. This is Lance Erline's write-up, not ours. But the unintentionally erotic parts, not so good.
Yeah, based off of that,
not
he's
so
out.
Good. Up next, Smail Mondone.
What?
Gordon. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Okay.
I don't know if that's short for something.
Smail?
S-M-A-E-L Mondone. He played at Georgia.
Smile Monday.
Is Smile Monday?
Or Smile Monday, I think.
Okay, whatever. The spelling and the phonetics are not
I've heard
up.
His name before. I just haven't... I didn't know that's how you spelled.
Quick to flow downhill, undersized with a frame that might be maxed out. This was... He had very little to work with here. Mm-hmm. Lance was keeping it in his pants on this one.
Keeping it clean.
Keeping it clean for this one, yeah. I'm out on them.
Yeah.
Barrett Carter, Clemson. Good stick and move hands. Twitchy burst. Not much on either of these two.
No. That he, eh, you know. But if you only have one and I'm like, meh, I think you're out.
Yeah, same here. Danny Stutzman, Oklahoma. Slips and slides around blocks. Lacks explosive stack and shed pop in his take-ons. What the hell is stack and shed pop? Lance read some things. I remember he was explaining something to us that we asked him about earlier this week, and I totally forgot. Oh, swapping paint, which is not sexual. Yeah. It means like your helmet's colliding with other helmets.
Yeah.
It made sense once he explained it. I guess a lot of people just talk like that. Absorbs more contact than he delivers. Needs to squeeze catch space when he's in position.
No thanks.
Up next, Cody Simon, Ohio State. Good size for the interior.
Ooh.
With well-muscled build. Strikes with shoulder. Wraps tight to finish. Okay.
Okay. I think I'm in.
I'm in, too. Cody Simon's on our board. Up next, and I spent too much time looking up whether or not this person's actually related to someone. Chris Paul Jr. Mississippi. Shoots.
Wait. Is he?
No, he's not.
Oh,
he's
no
not.
Relation.
He's not.
No relation.
I think it would have been mentioned.
We definitely would have heard about it.
Shoots hands into blockers with good timing. All right. Uses his hands. Reads dual gap choices and usually matches the runner's decision. All right.
Okay.
Willing to work with people. Willing to do the dirty work in the context of the scheme. Yes.
There we go.
Everyone should be willing to do the dirty work. Determined and slippery in the gap.
Okay. I love Chris Paul Jr.
He does lack ideal size and length. But...
just like his dad.
Well, yeah, that's true. Chris Paul Jr. Chris Paul is not a very big player.
Undersized.
Is Chris Paul 6 feet tall?
I don't think so. I think he's listed at 6 foot. I don't think he's 6 foot.
I think so as well. I think so, too.
But Junior? I like Junior.
Last one, Kobe King, Penn State, best in the confines of the box. Dense, muscular frame. Leverages his gap with a firm base and physical hand strikes. Make sure to get his licks in. Good. As a striker and tackler.
Okay.
He's on.
Yeah.
So there we go. We're adding... linebacker-wise to the board. Jalen Walker, Demetrius Knight from Georgia and South Carolina, respectively. Cody Simon, Ohio State. Chris Paul Jr., Mississippi. Kobe King, Penn State. There you go, guys. That wraps up our Lance Zierlein's Unintentionally Erotic Big Board series with people the Houston Texans should draft. As I expected from the text line, mixed results from the 832. So glad this pride segment is coming to an end. I thought the trombone couldn't be topped. You continue to lower the bar for radio. Another texter, this is the best segment on this station. It's exactly where we want to be. Another texter. We have two people saying it's the best segment ever.
Boom.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Stop the count.
I will stop the count at 2-1. Anyway, it's the Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. What better time for me to talk to you about my friends at Rize, R-I-I-Z-E, risehealth.com. When you use their product, you'll rise up. Thanks to their revolutionary rapid enhanced dissolving strip that combines sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. I know as we get older, some things stop working. You feel embarrassed about it. Well, if you could actually do something about it, wouldn't you do something about it? So you want to go to Rize Health, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. You're going to have a consultation with a board-certified doctor. And after that little quick conversation, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get these strips. You don't have to drink any water. You don't have to have food in your stomach. It lasts 36 hours. I mean, you're going to go places for sure. And listen, I love Rize. As somebody who's dealt with, you know, a little receding hairline, I'm already hooked up with them for that. You know, like they've helped my hairline grow back, but this stuff that Rise has, risehealth.com, these rapid enhanced dissolving strips are awesome. So you go to risehealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E-E, health.com, and you're going to enter promo code 975. You'll get 20% off your first order. 975 is the promo code for 20% off at Rise, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. Get up there, baby. Rise Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.